New Zealand's become the latest signatory to an international space agreement, but has made clear its particular concern is about ensuring the sustainability of space mining. The Artemis Accords are a set of principles to guide space cooperation and will support NASA's plans to return humans to the moon by 2024 and to launch an historic mission to Mars. The government says, as one of only a few countries with space launch capability, New Zealand must take the responsibilities of kaitiakitanga of the space environment seriously and ensure that minerals taken from the moon or elsewhere in space are used sustainably. Well, in the Wellington studio, we welcome Dr. Peter Crabtree, the head of the New Zealand Space Agency at the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment. Kia ora and welcome.
Kia ora.
So the Artemis Accords were negotiated between whom?
So they were negotiated between eight countries. It was initiated by the United States. They invited eight countries that they have close relationships or ongoing space engagement with, and really drafted a set of principles for the peaceful and sustainable exploration of space.
How broad are the principles that are considered? Are we getting everything from military hardware through to this kind of stuff, essentially resource management in space?
Yeah, they're very broad in nature, and in some ways they're almost like the greatest hits of, space treaties and principles. So the Accords bring together all of those, in some ways restate them, and probably dig in a little bit in more detail in a few areas.
So there is this Accords dealing with various aspects of exploration and pushing into and sending things into space. This has brought them together. I understood they were first signed in 2020, which was a busy year, of course. New Zealand was part of negotiating them, but we didn't sign at that time. Was there a reason?
So I think they're probably two types of reasons there. One, the COVID context is that we were all busy doing lots of other things at the same time. The beauty of being a public servant. And then the other aspect is there were some issues in there that New Zealand wanted to, in a sense, work through ourselves.
Which were what?
So that really came down to, it was partly about timing. The first question was, would we sign the Accords? The second question was, when would we sign the Accords? Were there any residual issues? You've mentioned space resource utilisation. That was principally the outstanding issue for New Zealand. I think by late last year, calendar year, it was pretty settled in terms of the draft of the text. We were quite comfortable with that.
So let's look at what they say about you. It's I don't want to use the word RMA, but it is resource management in space, because we've spoken to others talking about plans for a return to the moon and even for a settlement of sorts on the moon, and also stepping stone further out to Mars. And water is obviously one very important resource that would be part, but so are other vital elements and minerals. So when we are talking about realistic near-term mining, where would it happen? What would it be?
Yeah, so it's a great question, really, because these are the Artemis Accords. In some ways, they're under the umbrella of the Artemis program, and the Artemis program, as you outlined, is the program for humans returning to the moon and then going beyond to Mars. So it's a science and space exploration program, and the Accords are, in a sense, more directly focused on underpinning that program of activity. So I think when we come to a question like space resources utilisation, they are not the framework for resolving all issues that relate to space resources over time.
It's specific to this mission.
It's in great part specific to this mission, but obviously as we take it into a broader, say, a United Nations Committee on Peaceful Uses of Outer Space, that committee, which has a lot more countries involved, there's an ongoing dialogue there about space resources utilisation.
So this does not extend into other fora or bind anyone else under other fora. This is specific to the countries who have agreed to sign up to it, and with a focus on this forthcoming what do we call it, expedition or project?
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
And it's a non-binding arrangement for the countries that have signed up to it as well.
Broadly, what are the issues, and do countries have very different positions on them?
I think in some ways that has yet to reveal itself, and there are probably a number of reasons for that, which I won't necessarily speculate on, but some of it is because it's such early days. So a lot of this is in the abstract, and so I think the question for the lunar exploration program is there are some immediate challenges.
Yeah. It's not so abstract, is it?
No.
Okay. So one example is, this is according to space.com, NASA plans to mine the lunar, is it regolith or what is it?
Yeah, the regolith. So we should think of it like soil,
right,
or alluvial.
So it plans to mine the lunar soil for water to allow long-term settlement of the moon's surface using local resources. Now, this is interesting because water is probably on Earth going to be one of the most contested and contestable assets of the century. What happens if you start mining it on the moon? Are you allowed to without any regard to environmental impact? Are you allowed to without any regard to what others think of that? What is your status with respect to ownership of that resource? Has any of that been fleshed out?
No. Well, I think in some of it has. So some of it was within the Outer Space Treaty, which was signed in 1967. It doesn't go into any details, but it pretty much says you can't appropriate the resources. But the Artemis Accords, there is general agreement that this, using some of these resources for exploration purposes in a careful way isn't appropriating the resource.
So if it is used for a specific and necessary purpose as part of the mission, that would not be seen as appropriation?
Yes. The Artemis Accord holds at this point in time for these scientific missions, these exploration missions.
Is there a difference in the perspectives of some of the signatories, perhaps between the United States and, say, Australia? The United States says if we mine these resources, they're ours. Australia says, no, this is common heritage of humankind stuff and needs to be equitably shared and determined. Is that a difference even within this group currently in perspective?
So the Accords themselves don't say that. So the Accords themselves are saying this isn't appropriation and it is use. One of the major themes of the Accords is about doing scientific and space exploration for the benefit of all humankind. So it is, think of it like any other, in a sense, big science project where really you're talking about high levels of transparency. You're talking about the release, general release of scientific data. We basically, space is international in nature and people share. And so this is about sharing the knowledge that's learned.
So is that principle built into the Artemis Accords?
Yes, absolutely.
So that's the sharing of the data that's gleaned from the research.
Yeah.
But that broader question, and look, again, as you say, these are early days, but if principles are not established at the outset, they get harder and harder to establish,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So within these accords, is there anything directly addressing or are people talking about for the future,
yeah,
resource management and the sharing of resources fairly? Because I hear what you say, this is being regarded that for the purpose of this particular project, the use of water, or perhaps, I don't know, other vital resources,
yeah,
would not be appropriation. But are there discussions happening and then are there different positions,
yeah,
on how this might be dealt with going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. So the committee at the United Nations, the Committee on the Peaceful Use of Outer Space, there is this focus on space resources utilisation. I think that New Zealand's fundamental position here at this point in time is that rules, standards, frameworks for this need to be developed in a multilateral context. And I think that's the affirming thing about the Accords themselves, because the Accords say that that is necessary.
That said, if we look at history and we look at current space exploration, and I'm talking about not just launching as New Zealand does, right? We play an important role with,
yeah,
that potential to launch all sorts of hardware. But if you're looking at those heading projects, you're looking at the US, China playing a growing and prominent role, potentially.
In space.
In, yeah, space. In Russia. Now, are they necessarily, as things stand, interested in operating under UN resolutions and umbrellas? And if so, is that the historic UN resolutions and umbrellas?
I can't really answer that question at this point in time, because all of those countries in some ways have got reserved positions. It's pretty variable as to their level of engagement at this point in time.
Right.
It's just like any large-scale United Nations process.
So the US, however, is leading the Artemis,
yes,
Accords.
Yep.
Are either of those other two countries involved, by the way? Who are the other main countries involved?
Not in the Artemis Accords. So
right.
You've got Australia, Canada, Italy, Japan, Luxembourg, the Republic of Korea, the Ukraine, United Arab Emirates, UK and US.
And what's the... So US and Europe, European countries,
yep.
What's the role of some of these other players? Are they similar to New Zealand in that they may be contributing in part to... the US-led projects?
Yeah, so I think that's probably the basic thing there is they all have intentions to be part of the broader program. Signing up to the accords themselves is obviously lays the foundation for that to happen. They all have quite different kind of angles on it. So some are really well-established space actors with large space programs. Other are emergent new space actors as well. And Luxembourg's an interesting example because Luxembourg has, I think you've raised the issue, are there some countries that have some particular focus on space resource utilisation? Luxembourg has in the past actually invested quite a lot of money in thinking about this.
What kinds of resources?
Well, I think, again, that depends. You listed some of the different types. In some cases, it is, they could be minerals, valuable minerals, rare earths and things like that. But that isn't been dealt with in any detail for the purposes of this Artemis program.
Just looking forward more broadly then, is it logical that that water, minerals, rare earths will be specific to any space exploration that's going on? Potentially to settlement of sorts on the moon. In other words, perhaps people being able to stay on the moon for a longer period of time than they do currently. Is it anticipated that all of this would be specific to actual scientific projects?
I think under the Artemis, I think you've got to read the Artemis Accords in the first instance to be about the Artemis program, and it's about getting back to the moon, understand it will, in part, not just to the lunar surface. A large part of it is the Gateway project, which is a space station that will orbit the moon, and that's where Rocket Lab's mission relates to that project. That will be a deep space habitat. So having the International Space Station just 500 kilometres above the Earth, in some ways, that's very close to home. This is not so much.
Again, I'm getting away from the immediate with the Artemis, but we've also got commercial operators in the mix here, haven't we?
Yeah.
And, look, I don't know if Richard Branson wants to put a hotel or anyone else wants to put a hotel somewhere. It's speculative and it's much further down the track.
Yeah.
I guess the point is that the principles have to be established early in any process, don't they?
Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. And all of the commercial space operations are subject to domestic space laws.
All right.
Yeah.
So are they subject to this Artemis agreement, though, or is that government to government?
Yeah, so this is, this is for New Zealand. We are we're a space-faring nation. We launch space rockets from New Zealand. We launch payloads from New Zealand. Those payloads are subject to our space law. And our space law provides for us to introduce questions of national interest. We need to understand what is happening and do we agree with that from a policy perspective. So we would absolutely take these accords and hardwire that into that decision.
Again, going beyond this, but looking at New Zealand's role in space and space generally, we've got the space junk issue, we've got satellites right, left and centre. We had the recent incident of a satellite from one country returning to... Was it a satellite or was it... another piece of hardware.
It was a rocket body.
Rocket body returning to Earth in what was perceived to be perhaps a less than optimal managed manner. It feels like this is a step for a specific project, but there's actually a void on updating multilateral agreements on a whole range of other things. Is that happening somewhere, somehow?
Yeah, so the United Nations is the ultimate forum for doing this. It's obviously when you're dealing with a large number of countries, many of whom actually aren't space participants directly, they may benefit from space activities, and you'll have divergent views and you're looking for consensus. So it's inevitably, that's a challenge. That's number one. Ideal is that we reach those agreements. We also need to be pragmatic at times about how we get there. We've very much on questions like space debris, collision avoidance, issues like that, we take a... we seek to set best global standards on those matters and to be a really good citizen.
A separate matter again, and I do recall discussing it with an Otago University academic some years ago now, would be the use of outer space, or the use of what we call space, for military purposes. And again, is there even nascent conversations underway on any kind of accord around that?
Yeah, military purposes. So none of the existing treaties, in a sense, outlaw military purposes. They outlaw putting weapons into space, for example. Yeah. But when you, it starts to get tricky when you start to unpick what is a military application. So is our global positioning systems that everybody uses as a military technology?
True.
In a sense, you can't make a hard and fast definition. You have to set it in the context of, I think, of some broader principles, and that's how we've approached it to date.
It's a very interesting field you're working in. Thank you for coming in. Dr. Peter Crabtree is the head of New Zealand Space Agency at the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment.